Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together to praise and to worship you. Lord, I ask that you open our hearts and our minds as we enter into this time, that we may bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship our Savior today.
Let's go ahead and stand.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you.
Shadows, you in every battle. Nothing.
praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered, I'll praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemy's drowning.
Come on, here we go.
Faithful, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you.
Come on. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name. Sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. 'Cause when you called my
deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High.
Thank you.
words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do. Thank you, Father. So I'll throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response. I've got just one. My arms stretched wide, I will worship you.
Let's do that again. I got one response.
I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you.
So I'll throw.
So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs, get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside.
As Christians know the kind of authority that we carry. When we say, come on my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. That means that you, wherever you go, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's to work, whether it's to wherever you go, you carry the authority of Christ in you if you call yourself a believer. And you have that authority in your lungs to not be shy, to not be timid. Whether you're at school, do not be timid if you carry Christ in your heart. Do not be timid. You carry a lion inside of your lungs. That's the authority that you carry. So as we sing that again, just remember that you carry authority wherever you go. So come on, my soul. Come on, here we go.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
So come on, my soul.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Let's do that one more time. So come on.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
So I'll throw.
So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a set for our hearts singing alleluia, alleluia.
Good morning, church. I just want to welcome all of our guests that are here this morning, and I also want to welcome those that are joining us online on the radio. We're really thankful for each of you. We're thankful that you could join us, even from a distance. But before we dive into our sermon this morning, let's start by going to the Lord in prayer. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together and to praise and to worship you. Father, may we remember that it's about you and not about us. Father, may you get the glory through all of this. Lord, I thank you for the words that you've given us and the wisdom that you've given us. Father, as I prepare to give this message, may it be your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, this morning we're going to continue in our Life of Christ series that we've been in. We're going to continue in Matthew chapter 10, where we left off last week. You know, last week, Jesus, he went out to all his disciples and gathered the 12 close disciples into him, and he prepared them to send them out on basically a short-term mission trip. And he began to give them instructions on what they were to do when they would go out. You know, up to this point, Jesus had many followers, but he just was using the 12 inside of it. And these 12 are often what we call the disciples or apostles. They were his close group. And throughout his time with them, he showed them how to speak, how to act, how to treat others. He showed them what was expected of them as followers of Christ, on how to reach out to the least of these, how to pray for the sick, how to help people that no one else would help. And last week, we saw him preparing to send them out and giving them instructions on what they were to do on their way. He told them that they were to go to their own people first, and that they were supposed to bring this message of hope to them. This message of hope and that the Messiah had come, the one they had been promised, the one that they had been praying for, had now come. That they were to lay hands on the sick, to cast out the demons, to help them in whatever they faced. They were called to address the issues of the day that the people were facing in their lives, whatever struggles they were. And they were told to do all of this freely, to give freely just as God had given them freely. Even to the point that Jesus said to them that they weren't supposed to take any extra clothes, they weren't supposed to take a money bag, they weren't supposed to do any of that. Complete opposite of how any of us would travel, right? None of us would want to take off and go to Florida for a week with absolutely nothing else. No money, no nothing. Wouldn't be a good idea. But Jesus told them to do that because they were to trust that God would provide along the way. And he did. You know, often we overthink our faith. We can overthink how we should go out and share and make sure that we have the right words at the right time. You know, but truth be told, the scripture points out that we're called to just trust Jesus in those moments, knowing that he will provide. If we've done our due diligence, if we have spent time in prayer with God, if we spent time in his word, if we've done all of those things, we can trust that God will provide inside of whatever moments that we face, that we're not facing it alone. And we have to remember, not everybody is going to love what we have to say. And there will be some people who reject it. But the only thing we're called to do is to be faithful in our job, to be faithful in the Great Commission, remembering that it's Jesus that transforms lives. It's not us. It's Jesus that makes us new again. It's not us. It's not based on how good we are, what we've done, or what church we're affiliated with. It's Jesus that comes in and does all of that. It's not us. And it's not our responsibility on how people respond. It's our responsibility on how we present Jesus. You know, that brings us into our message this morning, where Jesus continues to prepare the disciples to be sent out. And though last time it was a lot of instructions, this time he's warning them about the adversity that they are about to face, for the troubles that may come their way on their mission trip. You know, Jesus' earthly ministry, he was popular with a lot of people. A lot of people liked Jesus when he went around, but not everyone was happy to see him. So we have Jesus telling the disciples that they should be prepared for the same thing. There will be people glad to see them, and there will be people that reject him. I mean, everyone loves to hear about miracles, right? How Jesus healed them and how he healed other people, and those followers around Jesus, they enjoyed being there. And I'm sure that they even enjoyed the free food that occasionally came when he fed the 3,000 and the 5,000. You know, when you don't have to pay for it and it's a good meal, it's a good day. They enjoyed those things. Jesus was the talk of the town when he first came onto the scene. He was kind of like the great new thing that everybody wanted to follow. But Jesus knew their hearts. He knew what their desires were. See, they wanted what they could get from Jesus. They wanted what free things they could get or from the healings that they could get. But they didn't want to take the time to understand who he was. See, they loved the gifts that Jesus offered, but they did not like the life that he was calling them to. A life of repentance, a life of servitude to Christ. Those are things that he didn't like. You know, I know here in America, often when we think about Christians or we hear some of the TV and radio evangelists, they talk about how much better life is going to be if we just say yes to Jesus, right? They talk about how much better everything is going to get. It's just this idea that if we turn our lives over to Jesus, there's going to be no more trouble. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more suffering. You know, that there's going to be, it's going to be an easy journey. All we need to do is trust in Jesus and we'll never be sick again. Yeah, we'll see how well that works. And then when life doesn't go the way that Jesus has been presented to us, when we become Christians and life doesn't go the way that he's been presented to us, what happens is we end up rejecting him. We end up pushing him away. Because they've been told the wrong things about Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. Life gets way better with Jesus. With or without Jesus, life is going to have trouble. With or without Jesus, we're going to have to deal with sickness and pain. With or without Jesus, there's going to be trouble on this side of the world because this is a fallen world. But with Jesus, we are not alone in any of it. We can find joy in even some of the worst situations we find because we have Jesus within us. See, when we accept that free gift of salvation, when we allow Christ to come into us and transform our lives, not just say yes to him, but allow him to truly come into our lives and transform us from the inside out, everything changes. We start looking at things differently. And it's an amazing moment. But Jesus never promised us an easy road. Jesus never promised that everything was going to go squeaky clean the moment we say yes to him. In fact, Jesus told his disciples that they were to pick up their cross and follow him. That they were to put one foot in front of the other. I don't know about you, but picking up the cross does not sound like an easy thing. And our life does get so much better in so many ways when we say yes to him. But again, it doesn't mean that we won't face difficulties. It doesn't mean that we won't face trials and temptations. In fact, when we flip over to Acts, we can see the disciples face many trials and tribulations throughout the rest of the New Testament. We can see the difficulties in which they faced. They were thrown into jail, they were beaten, and many of them were even killed for their faith, all because they proclaimed the name of Jesus around them. Yet throughout the Bible, it tells us that they celebrated and rejoiced in those moments that they were found worthy to suffer for the name of Christ, which sounds really odd to us. And this is why Jesus says, though, that we need to be prepared to count the cost when we choose to follow him. We don't have that same kind of persecution here in America, and praise God for that. Praise God that we don't have to deal with that here. But it does tell us that we need to be prepared to count the cost for when it comes our way. This wasn't just something that the disciples of Jesus' day followed. That Jesus' day actually had to deal with. Last week, our own brothers and sisters in Christ over in the southern part of Egypt had their homes burned by mobs of people, all because they wanted to build a new church in town. Our brothers and sisters over in China face persecution regularly. In fact, they're often thrown in jail, beaten, and even killed, all for their faith in Jesus. They have to meet in caves and secret locations. They have to sneak around to even have the word of God. If they're caught with a Bible, they can get thrown in jail. In Myanmar, the churches had to go completely underground because all the churches were being burnt to the ground. The pastors and members of them were being dragged out of the churches, beaten and killed in front of the rest. All because of their faith. In different regions of India, we have brothers and sisters in Christ who have their homes bombed and their churches burned down and their people killed. All because of their faith in Christ. In Canada, our little brother to the north has started arresting pastors for preaching the gospel. In Mexico, our nation to the south, Christians who bravely speak out against criminal groups or involved in evangelism that reach out to drug addicts and to the youth that are lost and may not have parents and all of those and are reaching out to them, they're being threatened by criminal organizations. They're being beaten and killed for what they're doing. It has gotten so bad down in Mexico for Christians that Open Door USA, which monitors the different countries in the world that are impacted, that have the most torment against Christians, has listed Mexico now as number 37 on their top 50 list of dangerous places for Christians. And it's not because of the government there. I'm not saying anything. But because of the dangers that they face for proclaiming the name of Jesus out into the streets in the different areas. The cartels have cracked down on it. The stories go on and on of our Christian brothers and sisters facing persecutions at different levels all around the world for their faith. Yet through it all, Christianity keeps growing in many of these nations. China is one of the fastest growing Christian nations there is. No matter what persecution comes their way, they have this boldness and this excitement there for Jesus. In fact, they've gotten to the point that they say, hey, if you're bringing missionaries over here, they better be able to preach for more than 30 minutes. They want 3-4 hours of teaching. If they're going to sneak into these caves, if they're going to do all of this, they want to hear it all. They're not just happy with that little moment. They want as much as they can get. They're wrestling. There was a missionary who talked about this time over there, and he asked how many of them had been shot at or anything like that for their faith and trying to escape. And almost all of them laughed, raising their hands, because they'd all been used to being shot at as they ran from the caves as the cops came along. How would we respond? How would we act inside of those moments? Would we be brave in those moments? Or would we silently sit back and do nothing and just shut up? So Jesus prepares to send his disciples out this morning. He prepares to go forward, and he starts in verse 16 where he says, look, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as a serpent and as innocent as a dove. Jesus started this passage off with the word look. He's telling him to pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. He tells them that he's sending them out like sheep among wolves. This idea of being sent out like sheep is this idea that we're supposed to be humble and kind as we go out. That when we're Jesus sends us out, it is through our kindness and humbleness, and that we're supposed to go out of obedience of Christ, remembering the message that we have is one of love and compassion, remembering the message that we have is one of hope and forgiveness. But this idea of sending them out among the wolves is to remember that there's going to be people who are ready to devour us for our faith. There's going to be people who aren't happy about the message that we're bringing. They're going to be ready to persecute. They're going to be ready to persecute the disciples. Just as our brothers and sisters around the world face persecution every day. Did you guys know currently that is 12 Christians a day are martyred for their faith around the world? 12 a day. And even still, Jesus says that we are to go out as sheep among the wolves. To go out and be humble and kind. Because even though the wolves are out there, there is many other sheep that are lost. And Jesus is sending us out to be those hands and feet, to bring that gospel message, that good news to those who want to hear it, who need that hope in their lives. Just because we face adversity when we go out doesn't mean that we shouldn't go out. Just because we face struggles when we go out doesn't mean that we shouldn't go out. You know, Jesus continued in this exact same verse, and he says that we are supposed to be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. It's this idea that we're supposed to go out with a blend of grace and truth. We're called to show grace to the world around us, remembering that we once too were lost. We once too were walking around until somebody brought us to Jesus. But that shrewd as a serpent is a reminder that we're supposed to use wisdom that God has given us, remembering that not everyone will respond to that message of hope that is found in Jesus. And we're to be aware that many of men will want to persecute us for our faith. Jesus continued in verse 17, and he says, beware of them, because they will hand you over to local courts and flog you in their synagogues. Jesus is expanding in this moment on the idea of being shrewd as a snake. When he says, beware of them, he says, pay attention. Not everyone is going to take your message of hope that is found in Christ as a positive thing in life. That instead, they will use that against you, and they're going to hand you over to be persecuted. Think about even within our own nation. Now, the persecution that we face here is mild compared to what our brothers and sisters face around the world. But within the culture we live today, Christians are often made fun of. They're looked down on. There's a movement about to try to cancel Christians. Not everybody, but there's many out there who are. Several years ago, there was even a mayor in Texas that was demanding that all the pastors in her town submit their sermons before Sunday mornings for review to make sure it didn't have anything in it that she didn't like. That didn't go over well, but that was an attempt. And there is plenty of nations around the world where Christians are handed over to the local courts on a regular basis. or even just taken by mobs, beaten and bruised, and even killed for their faith. But here's the interesting thing. Jesus says that when we have to go to those courts, when we have to do all of that, that we're supposed to use it to advance the kingdom. In verse 18, Jesus says, "You will even be brought before governors and kings because of me and bear witness to them and to the Gentiles." You see, through the heaviest persecution, we can utilize that to share the message of hope to the world around us. The way that we respond inside of those moments is an opportunity to bear witness to what Christ has done inside of our lives, how he's renewed us from the inside out. We have a large audience at that moment, because when we face persecution but stay faithful to God, it bears witness to the hope that is found inside of us. The disciples themselves over in Acts faced heavy persecution. And they were brought before governors and kings, and where they were able to declare the name of Jesus for all to hear. And God used that moment of their persecution to be able to boldly proclaim the name of Jesus. I want to remind everybody this morning, you know, often we hear, oh, God can use all things for his good, which is true. But it doesn't mean that all things are good. We live in a fallen world. We have struggles. We have things that we face that aren't always good. But we do know that even in the bad situation, God can use them. What man meant for evil, God can use for good. He can turn it around and use it for his glory. Doesn't mean it was good on what happened, but it means God can make something good out of it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian during World War II. He was somebody who adamantly spoke out against Nazi Germany. He worked with the underground church at the time. He had an underground seminary that he ran, and he actively worked against Nazi Germany. The suitcase bombing was him and his group to try to kill Hitler. This was what Dietrich Bonhoeffer did, but he tried to encourage the church and keep the church to make the fight, to stand for what was right. But he himself eventually got caught, whipped, and beaten for his faith. But you know what he did while he was in prison? He continued to write. He ran a ministry that was in prison that affected hundreds of people where they came to Christ because of what he was doing, even in the middle of that difficult time. He used that opportunity to lead people to Christ, and he did it all the way till the end when he was hung for his faith. They brought him out, and the witnesses say that they saw through the jail cells that he got on his knees, he prayed one more prayer and stood up, and they killed him. They saw him be faithful to the very end. And so many people came to Christ because of his writings. There are many people still to this day that are encouraged by his writings and the difficult moments that he faced, and that he stayed faithful to Christ no matter what he faced. And I know that the difficulties that can also come about at those moments is we don't always know what we're going to say. We don't always know what we're going to do. If you were brought in front of a judge today and were told, and you were arrested for being a Christian, how would you respond inside of those moments? And we know that Jesus reassured his disciples in verse 19 and 20, where he says, "But when they hand you over, don't worry about how or what you are to speak, for you will be given what to say at that hour. Because it isn't you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you." You see, Jesus will give us the words and the wisdom to answer and to speak at the right times and the right moments. Remember that our faith is not about us. It's not about how good we are. It's not about how much we know. Our knowledge is not what saves us, or how much scripture we have memorized. Whether or not we were baptized, that's not what saves us. What church we attend, that's not what saves us. What saves us is the finished work of Christ up on the cross. That's what saves us. Him making a way where there was absolutely no other way. Allowing him to come into our lives and transform us from the inside out. We've been made a new creation. And we're given that Holy Spirit when we give our lives to him. That works within our lives. That shows us what to say and what to do in those right moments when we listen. Key word there. And Jesus is promising his disciples that they will be given those right words at those right moments. And we see that actually comes true in Acts when the disciples are put in front of the courts and they speak in such a way that astonishes all those who hear them. They were murmuring and mumbling amongst themselves because they were astonished. They were like, these aren't learned men. These aren't guys who've basically gone to their equivalent of seminary and training and stuff. But yet they speak with this wisdom and authority and everything that Christ had given them inside of those moments. Because he gives us those words. He gives us the directions. No matter what we face in our lives, he's right there. Jesus continued to warn the disciples in 21 and 22, where he says, brothers will betray brother to death and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of my name, but the one endures to the end will be saved. I know myself, when I read that particular part of the passage, that's a little hard one to wrestle with. The idea that my own family could betray me, that this was something that they had to deal with, even to the point that some family would turn them over to be killed. It's a hard wrestle and a hard truth sometimes for us as Christians. But this is a reality that many of our brothers and sisters in Christ actually face. If they were to tell their family that they've accepted Jesus, if they were to tell their family of what decision they've made to follow the one true God, they could be taken outside and killed. And it would be considered an honor by the family. And it happens. The disciples themselves had their own families with their own doubts that had turned to persecute him. But Jesus warned them that this will happen, and it will sometimes be the people that you least expect that will stand up and throw you under the bus. One of Jesus' own 12 that he is sending out in this moment betrayed Jesus. They're not doing this because of, they're doing this all because of your faith in him. It's not you that they dislike, it's Christ in you. What Christ stands for. Now, I want to be clear about one last little line here, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Standing firm till the end is not what saves us, but is the evidence of Christ within us. And that commitment stands as a testimony to the world around us on what Jesus has done for our lives. In 23, when they persecute you in one town, flee to another, for truly I tell you, you will not have gone through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. There's a lot inside of this little verse, but there's even a few things that seem to be debated, but but we can agree on is that Jesus is reinforcing something that he said in the passage last week. If someone rejects Jesus, but we've done our due diligence of sharing the word of God, the hope that is from him, then that's not on us, that's on them. That we are to move on for our own safety and avoid wasting efforts on audience that just rejects Jesus. It doesn't mean we stop praying for them. It doesn't mean that we don't utilize opportunities to represent Christ inside of those moments. But we are allowed to be as shrewd as a snake in those moments and use discernment as we move around to know when to speak and when not to. And then the last two verses of the day, 24 and 25, he says, a disciple is not above his teacher or a slave above his master. It is enough for a disciple to become like his teacher and a slave like his master. If they called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? Jesus closed out this section by reminding the disciples that just as he is treated poorly, just as he was taken to the governors, just as he was put in front of the courts, just as he was whipped and beaten, they should expect the same treatment in their own lives. Just as when Jesus walked here on earth, there were many who loved him and many who wanted a relationship to follow him, there's also many who disliked him and rejected him. And when we call ourselves Christians, when we call ourselves followers of Christ, we should expect the same thing. I know here in the United States, we are truly blessed. We are blessed because we do not face the same type of persecution that many of our brothers and sisters around the world do. Our persecution is fairly mild compared to what often in the world. And we can have a really hard time grasping this concept of persecution that we may face. Because a bad day for us is the coffee got cold. I know there's worse than that, but in general. But I can assure you, our brothers and sisters around the world, when they read this, it's like reading the newspaper in the morning. They know the reality of it and how serious it is. And we should be praying for them daily for the struggles that they face. As we close out this morning, I want to challenge you all. Have you counted the cost at following Jesus? Have you looked at Jesus as more than a get-out-of-jail-free card? Have you looked at him and allowed him to come in and become Lord of your life? Not just the thing you call on in times of trouble, but someone that you walk with daily. Not just simply picking the parts that you want from him. Have you allowed him to transform you from the inside out? Are you prepared for that moment that you may have to face battle? Or do you, are you ready to stand firm on God's word if the world comes knocking? Even to the point of death. Have you prepared the same way for whatever mission God has in store for you? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the reminder of how blessed we truly are, and for the hope that is found in your Son, Jesus. Father, may we learn to stand up boldly and proclaim your name to the world around us. May we be willing to count the cost to be a disciple of Jesus. Remembering that it doesn't mean it's always going to be easy, but you are right there with us through it all. Lord, give us the strength and the wisdom as we go out this week to represent you in all that we do, and that we may boldly proclaim your name. In Jesus' name.
All my life you have been so, so good. all the goodness of God.
All my life.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. He is faithful and true. May God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and give you rest this week. May you go out in boldness and declare the name of Jesus everywhere you go. And when needed, use words. God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.